Darren. We're about to drop another one of these top five things on you.
Sounds like a good idea.
Like Galileo dropped the orange. I will say a word of caution, a programming note, if you'll have it.
Okay.
This is going to be the last top five things podcast you get for a while, because we will be taking a week off. We're all away on vacation. So, I'd feel bad if there weren't thousands upon thousands of hours that you could go back and listen to. You can always, if you find yourself jonesing for your boys.
I would say rediscover yourself.
Take this week. And what we're giving you is the gift of time, really.
Uh-huh.
Now,
and examine the changes to your body.
Yes, precisely.
Uh-huh. Do that.
So, yeah, we won't be back until, I want to say, March 21st.
Is that a Monday?
Yeah. Although, I can't guarantee, like, March 21st or 22nd will probably be the next time that you get a podcast.
Well, if you're a patron, you have access to everything we've ever done.
Now, how do I do
you
that?
You are in good shape.
All right, well, patrons, there you go. Go crazy. Just heads up. We're going to be gone for a while. Don't freak out. Everything's fine. We're just taking time off, which is something we don't usually do. But
ever.
Yeah, we need to.
Compared to other people? Good God. Good God.
There is that. Let's get into it with the first one, yeah?
Yeah.
Number one.
Number one.
Remember a couple of weeks ago I was telling you that I was kicking around the idea of getting on a skateboard again?
Yeah, that was a little while ago.
And I'm a gentleman who has lost front teeth.
Sure have.
To scooter accidents. I haven't been on a skateboard since... Oh, probably 1989, 1990.
What happened the last time you went roller skating?
What the doctor told me I got was a subdermal hematoma, which was bruising to the degree that she was very concerned about me. The problem is I have two things going against me.
You don't learn a lesson.
I'm very stubborn. I don't like to give up. And... I don't have any real, what you call, balance.
Right.
My balance is not what it was.
You've got like an inner ear problem.
I think it's just that I have a fat old man problem is what I have.
Well, that doesn't help with the inner ear.
I think my muscle memory is that I'm still, 17 years old.
Right.
But I am not.
Well, yeah, see, muscle memory is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fat remembers nothing.
I know what it's supposed to feel like when I'm on a skateboard. My doubt is that will be my experience. I've really been looking into this because I think it could be a fun way to have a hobby. Just to, skateboard around the neighborhood as a middle-aged man.
Yeah, that's a good look.
I don't see a problem with it.
Oh, brother.
Now we're finding out that Tony Hawk broke his leg in a skating accident on Monday. Tony Hawk.
Well, you guys are about the same age, aren't you?
He's 4 years older than I am.
Oh, okay. Even better.
He's 53 years old. Tony Hawk suffered a serious injury that could derail his skating career. Last night, he posted an X-ray that shows that he broke his leg, and I'm looking at the X-ray here. It looks it's not a little broken.
It's not a little fracture.
Oh,
huh?
No.
Isn't the skating part of his career over and he's just now just kind of it's the business side of things?
You would think
that you don't necessarily have to skate anymore. Can't you just show videos of when you did skate?
Let me read from the gram. Gram, look at gram of dope. I got to get that drop. Remind me, I'm going to write that down. I got to get the gram of a dope drop on the board here.
Which movie's that one from?
It's from a movie called Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary right before a Judas Priest show in 1982. And the kids are very excited to see Priest.
Yeah.
One young lady, very excited about the possibility of jumping Rob Halford's bones. Time would tell a different story, yes. Tony Hawk here on the gram. Like a gram of dope. He says yesterday...
Hey, that just came to me.
I'm gonna get the audio here during the news break.
I know what you're talking about.
It's the best. Crab!
Is it a full documentary?
I think it's only like a half hour.
Okay,
long.
Yeah, right. That's about all you can put up
with. Yeah, it's a lot. These kids who are now in their late 50s at the parking lot for the pre-show, just enjoying
a
life.
Bunch of underage drinking,
just
and,
huffing
and drugging.
Yeah, and huffing bags of ether, brown paper bags of whatever. Tony Hawk says, yesterday sucked. I broke my elbow 20 years ago and managed a full comeback. This recovery for a broken femur will be much harder because of its severity and my age, but I'm up for the challenge. There's a strange irony that this happened on the eve of HBO releasing a trailer for Until the Wheels Come Off, Sam Jones' documentary about my life and career, which has a strong focus on the philosophy of how I and we do this at our age. The answer is
not well is the answer.
I was going to say, I'm glad this happened before the documentary.
Yeah.
Because if I watch Until the Wheels Fall Off and it's Tony Hawk telling me at my age I should absolutely take up skating again, I don't need this. He says, the answer is complicated, but ultimately it's because I found my sense of purpose and shaped my identity through skating, and it nourishes my mental health immensely. I've said many times that I won't stop skating until I'm physically unable. A broken leg with plenty of hardware will probably be the biggest test of that creed. I'll be back, maybe not at full capacity, but I resigned to that notion years ago as I approached midlife. Thanks to my unyieldingly supportive, tolerant family and all of you for the love and support through the years. I wouldn't be here without you. See you on the other side. Yeah. And then it's Tony Hawk.
Midlife? Who are you kidding? You're elderly.
53 is not elderly.
It is.
I know that you, just because you feel like a broken old man
how
in your 50s.
How old does Tony Hawk think he's going
to
live?
Tony Hawk can live to be
106?
Yeah, it's possible with advances. And.
But as far as what kind of skating is does he want to continue to do? Is he still like doing tricks where he's up on banisters and stuff? Or I mean, couldn't he just like kind of get on the board and find a hill somewhere and just...
I don't think he's doing, you know...
I mean, can't you just find a nice long with a very, very slight incline or decline and just enjoy that?
Yeah. He's not doing 900s anymore.
Can't you just get yourself a bottle of Ocean Spray cranberry juice and... take in a little Fleetwood Mac. And
there was a story in the New York Times last year, and the headline is, Tony Hawk's greatest trick is becoming a middle-aged skateboard star. But yeah, it might be time to hang it up, because we're old.
Old, not middle-aged.
He's middle-aged. You're terrible. We'll take a break for news now from WQAD.
I understand math is the problem.
If Tony Hawk lives to be 100, 53 is middle age.
Okay. He's going to live to be 100.
Not if he keeps skating, he's not.
Right.
Number two.
Musical biopics. You had your Queen one that was a big deal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy won an Academy Award for playing a role of Freddie Mercury.
Not critically acclaimed.
No, I still haven't seen it. You saw it? Did you like it?
It was okay.
Then there was the Elton John movie, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
That thing tanked too, didn't it?
Yeah, I think they took a lot of liberties with that one.
Uh-huh. Well, you want to talk about liberties. There's a new Billy Joel biopic.
Oh, God.
That has just been greenlit.
Oh, brother.
It's called Piano Man. The movie will follow Billy Joel's early years from being discovered by Irwin Mazur, who managed the band The Hassles that Billy Joel joined as a teenager, to his breakout performance in 1972 that captured the attention of Clive Davis. That's the movie? It's not about... like.
So it takes
what happened afterwards?
It only takes you up to 1972?
Yes.
All right, well, then that might be worthwhile.
Well, this movie's not going to be worthwhile. Because there is, I think, one big sticking point in this movie that's got a lot of people asking,
That Billy Joel doesn't want it to happen?
Billy Joel's representative says that Billy Joel is not involved with this film project, and that the movie has zero rights to play any of his music, or use his name or likeness, or any of his life story. And none of those rights will be granted.
Now, wasn't that the same deal with the Bowie movie that came out?
Exactly the same deal.
Where you couldn't use any of the music?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bowie movie Stardust that came out
a
couple of years ago, that they were able to call the character David Bowie, at least. That was about Bowie and his and Ziggy Stardust. I mean, there was, you couldn't use his music, but at least they were able to say, well, this is David Bowie, everybody. And it was kind of the same deal where it was about Bowie's first trip to America before he was a big deal. I don't know why that's interesting.
Yeah, it was no big retrospective. It was kind of just a very limited slice of life.
The life rights that have been acquired here are for the guy Irwin Mazur, who was Billy Joel's music rep from 1970 to 1972. Now, think of your favorite Billy Joel song from 1970 to 1972. You can't, because he wasn't a thing. Nobody knew who Billy Joel was. Mazur's father owned the Long Island Club, where Billy Joel got his start with a band called The Hassles in 1966. Piano Man comes out in 73, the song, right? This movie ends in 72. So the movie's called Piano Man, but it won't have the song Piano Man. It won't even have him coming up with the song Piano Man. The producers say music needs for the film are yet to be determined. How is that going to work? You can't call the character Billy Joel. You can't have him look like Billy Joel. And you can't use any Billy Joel music. But other than that, it's absolutely Billy Joel's story.
Oh, you're marvelous.
Piano Man will be executive produced by Gigantic Studios. It says here in the statement, Billy Joel has been a part of my life since my father signed him to his record label when I was 4 years old. His music is ingrained in my DNA, and it's been a dream of mine as a filmmaker to explore and celebrate the untold story of how Billy Joel became the Piano Man. I would think that you would want Billy Joel involved in this if you want to tell
really
his story.
I really need to milk this.
My dad used to work with Billy Joel.
It's all I've got.
Someone else says here in a statement for the production company, as a lifelong fan of Billy Joel, I am elated to be part of the team to produce this biopic. Billy Joel is the key figure on the Mount Rushmore of American music. What? Billy Joel's great. I'm not taking anything away from Billy Joel, but on the Mount Rushmore of American music? Billy Joel movie, not Billy Joel, with no Billy Joel music. Coming soon.
To a stream near you.
Who wants to watch this? You know, I've always wondered, what was life like for 2 years of Billy Joel's life before anyone cared about him? They're doing a prequel to The Lion King now. Does this seem like it's The Lion King prequel? Will be a live-action Lion King. A follow-up to the live-action remake of The Lion King. This will tell the story of a young Mufasa and Scar. Have you seen either of The Lion Kings, either the original animated or the live-action?
No, I don't know what's going on there.
They're doing a prequel. Barry Jenkins will be the director of this. Barry Jenkins was the director of the movie Moonlight.
Barry Jenkins!
It's your cousin, Barry. Barry Jenkins!
I mean,
Barry Jenkins is good, but you know who'd be a better choice to direct?
Leroy Jenkins!
I mean, isn't a lion born in Lion King?
Yeah, but that's the son, you see. There's intrigue between Mufasa is the dad, and Scar is his brother, and Mufasa's the king, and Scar kills him, and then the son Simba has to take over for the evil Scar. What the Lion King is all about.
Who gets lifted in the air?
That's little Simba, who was born, you see.
Okay.
So he becomes the Lion King.
Gotcha.
But that's what the original cartoon and the live action are all about. This will be the story before the story, which I don't know. The Lion King, the live action, not a critical hit. A lot of people felt like the fact that the lions were real kind of took them out of it. That when you're, because you're able to do more things with a cartoon lion than you are a real lion.
And then when does Elton John kill everyone?
What? That's not what happens.
Oh.
Do you think that the Lion King is about Elton John going on safari?
Yeah, going on a murderous
no
rampage.
That's not what happens. Might be a better movie. Take that, you stupid lions! Can you feel this love tonight?
Yeah, and by that I mean murder.
No. Boy, didn't see that ending coming. Everything was going great. All the animals were talking to each other. In the last 3 minutes, it's just Elton John going on a murderous rampage.
Kind of like he does in The Golden Circle.
The director here says, my agent sent me a lot of scripts, and when this one came, super top secret, I was very skeptical.
Super top secret.
I read the script, and about 40 pages in, I turned to Lulu Wang, and I said, this is good.
Oh, sure. Lulu Wang is just hanging out. Yeah, likely story.
And as I kept reading, I got further away from the side of my brain that said, oh, a filmmaker like you doesn't want to make a film like this. And I allowed myself to get to the place where these characters, this story is amazing. What really pushed me across the line was James, my director of photography, said, you know what? There's something really interesting in this mode of filmmaking that we haven't done and that not many people have done. And that was when I went back to the powers that be.
Which to me...
And I said, I would love to do this, but I've got to be able to do what I do.
And then I thought about what he said, and I thought, that's a put down. He was calling me trash.
He said that to me at a dinner.
Yeah.
Well.
And then, then I turned to Lulu Lang.
Lulu Wang.
Lulu Wang, even better.
She's also a very respected
and
filmmaker.
Lulu had nothing to say.
Lulu shrugged her shoulders, but that's Lulu. That's Lulu to a T. Get ready for the Lion King prequel, a live-action movie.
That's when Lulu Wang shot me a dirty look and farted. And then just got up and walked away. And it's...
That was so Lulu.
Dunk. Bad. Bad.
Lulu had been on a cleanse.
Lulu had been eating nothing but rotten fish for a month. And yet, I'm the bad guy. You can take your Lion King prequel and do what you want with it. Because I'm tired of this. And that goes for you too, Elton John, if that is in fact your real name.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Yeah, that.
Well, there are some people that are very excited
you
about this.
You can crap on other people, not me.
I directed Moonlight.
Yeah, I did Moonlight, which, by the way,
yes,
they didn't think we were going to win.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like...
And for a while, we didn't.
And it looked like the fix was in.
Well, Barry Jenkins will be directing this movie, the prequel to The Lion King. It's
I can't wait.
It's an important movie. And
can't wait. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Be marvelous.
Number three.
We had a story a couple of weeks ago, and we thought it was the most Florida Man story of the year. Like, we thought... That's it. We're done for 22. We found our Floridian.
We have a wiener.
Yeah. I don't. And at the time, I thought maybe that was premature. we really shouldn't be throwing things out like Florida Man of the Year until December 28th.
And what was that one?
I don't even remember. Do you remember?
What?
Really?
What? Really? Florida Man? I don't know.
People are mad at me because I showed a bunch of naked dead bodies with their spread blue butts flying out of boxes. Really?
Really? I don't know. Florida Man?
For some reason, today's Florida Man.
Yeah. Florida.
Kenneth Clark Carlisle, today's Florida Man. He's 64 years old, mm-hmm. and we don't know why he did this. But apparently the neighbors had a glass table on their porch.
Okay.
And
back porch?
Front porch.
Front porch.
Front porch.
Probably a smaller table.
Uh-huh. This 64-year-old Floridian, Kenneth Clark Carlisle, walked up. It was in the driveway, I guess. They had a glass table on the driveway. Maybe they were moving it. Maybe they just purchased it.
Getting
maybe
ready for a yard sale.
Or cleaning it for
Or cleaning it, maybe.
Spring.
For yeah, cleaning it.
You're going to need to clean it again.
I know what he did.
Do you?
Yeah. Before he even, as soon as you said glass table, I knew where this was going.
Eggs Danny Thomas style?
Yeah.
Kenneth Clark Carlisle, 64 years old, walked up to the driveway. He was fully naked at the time.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes things easy for his next move.
And then he defecated on top of the glass table.
Yeah.
Arrested Friday afternoon for criminal mischief.
That's more than mischief.
Booked into county jail on a misdemeanor charge.
Boy, things are going to be awkward at the next block party.
Yeah, it says here that they captured him relieving himself in broad daylight on two separate angles of the victim's home security video footage.
Do you need two angles?
I'm going to watch this in CinemaScope.
Hold on a second. We're going to try to piece this together.
You think you have a crap job?
All right, from this particular angle, it looks like. And let's take a look at this angle.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I think I have a grasp of what's going on here.
I think I've got a fix on things.
When the cops showed up at the scene of the crime here in Clearwater, Florida, Mr. Carlisle spoke to them.
He was still hanging around?
He was speaking to the cops through the door of his RV camper,
uh-huh.
still visibly naked, and it says here, highly uncooperative.
What do you want?
Bond on the criminal mischief rap, $250. He's still behind bars because he's already facing several criminal charges stemming from an arrest that happened back in December when he was busted for drunk driving and discharging multiple firearms into a lake near his residence.
He did what?
He shot up a lake, Darren.
Shot up a lake.
That's right. Multiple shell casings scattered around the vehicle as he shot up a lake back in December. Take that, you stupid lake! When this is done, you ain't gonna like what I do to the table!
I'm gonna kill you!
Back then, he fired the guns while he was seated in his car. I ain't getting out of the car for this!
Doesn't give you the best angle for the lake.
I shouldn't think so, no.
No.
Take this, stupid lake! Hate you so much, lake! I ain't crazy about glass tables, neither. Then he was charged for that December arrest. They found multiple shell casings scattered around his vehicle. They charged him with a DUI, a misdemeanor, and two felony firearms counts. So he was free on $11,500 bond. When, again, for some reason, he thought it'd be a good idea to go up to the neighbor in their driveway and defecate while naked on their porch. The police report, this is just good writing. The defendant was captured doing so on two separate angles of the victim's home security video footage. The defendant was spoken with through the door of his RV camper and was still visibly naked and highly uncooperative with law enforcement. Now, there's no law. You can't make a law about being naked in an RV.
No, I think
not that, in Florida.
I think that's allowed. I don't know about the other stuff.
Florida? But that's America's wing.
I love that you were able to piece together where this story was going as soon as I said glass table.
Well, not only glass table, but they didn't know why he did what he did. Well, and glass table. That's all I needed.
If he had an explanation, would that be okay? Like if he's like, here's what my thought process was when I took a dump on the glass table. Now listen, I know looking at the two different camera angles, I know it doesn't look good, but I want to assure everybody there is a perfectly logical explanation for why I did this.
A glass table killed my parents, and I was an orphan.
We were coming out of a movie theater when it jumped my parents. Killed the both of them. Now this is what I do. I stalk the night.
At the drive-in over by the lake.
Number four.
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 Last month we were talking about a new freak show on A&E called, do you remember this show? Adults Adopting Adults?
Mm-hmm.
This was the show where, for whatever reason, adults adopt other adults as their children, fully grown people. And they aired it on A&E, and the ratings were so dismal that they yanked it after just three episodes.
Okay.
No one was interested in watching.
This had the prince in it?
Well, yeah, Frederick Prince van Anhalt.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
Yes. He was featured on the show.
Yeah.
And this was back in February when they launched this thing. He adopted a grown man named Kevin. And he legally adopted him.
And Kevin was going to be a prince as well.
Uh-huh. Because he needed someone to carry on his royal legacy, you see. And he was telling Kevin, I need you to crank out some grandkids. So the royal bloodline can continue.
It's not real.
So he was telling the show got canceled after 3 weeks.
Yeah, what?
And then Prince van Anhalt was talking to TMZ about how, yeah, I don't want the kid anymore. I don't want.
Okay. If we're not going to do the show, the adoption is null and void.
I'm not interested in doing this anymore. Without a TV show,
I don't imagine
there's really no point in me doing this.
Yeah, what would be the point of this?
Uh-huh. This was an interview he did with TMZ right after the show got canceled.
Pulls no punches.
He said he wanted Kev to crank out some grandkids. but that seems to no longer be an issue.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, you got to go. And this Beat was it. News. Beat Here it. He is.
This is news to Kevin?
Kevin was like, I don't know anything about this. What do you mean? I thought you were my daddy.
My daddy.
Now Kevin says he's shocked by this adoption
reversal.
Well,
you shouldn't be.
Shocked, disappointed, and sad. Here he is talking to TMZ about this reversal of fortune. Can we have the... where's the audio on this? Hang on a second. It's
this, Emmett.
Here he is. Kevin. TMZ.com.
I was shocked, disappointed, and sad because, you know, I put also so much effort and time into this, Emmett. It was just a long road. And now he just suddenly wants to say, like, hey, I want to reverse everything.
Felt like losing a family member? Died?
I'm losing a family member. He's my legal dad now. And I'm losing him. And obviously, like...
You've known him for 3 weeks.
I don't think this kid is... well, he's a grown man. I think he's American. I think he's adopted Prince's crazy accent.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt that. That was probably part of the deal.
That's not how anything works.
This shocks me. And I mean, obviously, after this whole thing, I'm losing a little bit of trust in him.
Yeah, he is.
And he needs to show me that.
He's got the accent.
I think this kid's from San Diego.
Yeah.
Why is he talking like this?
Well,
I'm obviously shocked that he would do this to me.
Part of the deal.
Big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
How long are you hanging out with Daddy that you got his crazy accent?
He still wants me as his son. I mean, it's his turn now. He has to prove me, say like, hey, I did a mistake. And, you know, he should understand my value, and I hope he does.
You mean he did the mistake like the snake at the gate?
There's a snake at the gate. Also, my adopted son is the grown-up, and I don't want him anymore.
Grown-up. Oh, boy.
Get this kid away from me. He's freaking me out. There's a snake at the gate in the form of Kevin.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
Yeah.
He's not... This kid's not... He's not foreign.
No, and he picked up the accent in less than a month.
Why is he talking like this? I don't get this. Prince Van Anhalt, he needs to prove to me that he wants to be my dad. No, he said he doesn't because the show got canceled.
You're done, Kevin.
And, you know...
Beat it, Kevin. Beat it.
As the wise man once said...
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Yeah, that's all this is.
If Falcon's grown up by now, bring him to me. I'll make him my new adopted grown-up son. He says of the adoption process that Prince Van Anhalt wants to reverse, Kevin says, I've put so much effort and time into this. He wants to punish his dad, but he wasn't specific about how he wants to do that. Oh, I have some ideas. The show Adults Adopting Adults yanked after just 3 episodes, and now Prince Van Anhalt is reversing the adoption process. Why is he talking like that? Here's Prince Van Anhalt.
I think Kevin is a very nice guy, but as a young kid, he is too young, unfortunately. You know,
so are you thinking of adopting
too
an
young
older
child? Well, I'd like a younger. He's too young. He's
too young.
Too young for me. I'm looking for like a nice 70-year-old child that I can adopt.
What are you talking about?
He's a nice kid, but it's not going to work out. It's got to be even creepier for us to keep the show on the air. The snakes and the gates.
I rather would like to adopt a girl now, to start with a girl now, and maybe the girls are different, you know? I mean,
maybe that'll work out.
You know, it would not be weird at all is if I adopted a grown woman. That wouldn't be weird.
I tell you what.
Maybe the girls are different. I don't know how this works.
6 guys. Now Kevin is here, and Kevin, he's just too young. He's flipping around. You know, he doesn't
flipping
know where
around.
To go. And
flipping around?
He flips over and he crawls. I was so proud when I saw him crawl for the first time.
He flip-flops all over the place. What? Flipping and flopping.
What the hell are you talking about, you weirdo?
You don't make any... sense.
And he doesn't know the responsibilities. I have a huge responsibility.
No, you don't have any responsibilities.
He got the royal responsibilities, doesn't he, of being this imaginary prince? That's not nothing. I got to do all of my princely duties and all of this stuff, you know.
Ability, I took over the Gabor stuff, you know, when they passed away.
I got that Gabor stuff I got to do.
That's what he calls it. I took over the Gabor stuff.
Oh my God, I gotta rethink things.
With it, and I need somebody to help me, and also somebody to carry on the legacy.
Is there still a chance for Kevin?
There is still a chance, but he has to show me. He has to show me that he can do it. You see, when he leaves all the time, you know, he goes to Africa and goes there and there and there, then I get worried. You know, I said, wait
How
a minute.
How do you go about reversing the adoption process? Huh? How do you go about reversing the adoption process?
Well, the adoption to reverse it is an easy thing to do it, you know, if you give a...
Because it's all baloney. I mean,
none of this is real.
None of this isn't a thing, adopting another adult. Can you imagine?
Running off to Africa.
You know, Kevin, I need somebody not flipping around, somebody to focus on all the Gabor stuff that I got to handle.
Paul's promise to the judge, you know, then you can do it, you know. I mean, telling the judge he's going to help me and he disappears all the time. He comes for a few days, then he disappears. That's not the way it works.
You know, actually, with adult children, that is exactly how it works.
Yeah, they do kind of come and go.
They show up for a while, and then they go do their own thing. Yeah. That's exactly what a relationship should be like with an adult son. You know, I need someone to do all of the Zsa Gabor stuff and all of this.
You think a woman would be better to get all of this stuff done?
I don't know, but I have to try out a woman.
You're going to try her out, huh?
If I can't trust men anymore, I have to see if a woman is better, you know?
Yeah.
I got to kick the tires on a chick, you know?
I always thought, you know, men have stronger disciplines than women. Women are a bit more on the easy side, you know, but now I trust women more than men, you know. Hopefully a woman works out, you know. I never tried it, but hopefully it works out. I need someone tough. Women are very tough.
You better take that call. Yeah. I think it's Kevin.
Daddy, I got this crazy accent and everything. Don't do this to me.
I'm in Africa.
Listen, I got...
Kevin needs the bus fare back from Africa.
Daddy, I've adopted a lion. I need you to... I got a baby brother here in Africa. He's a lion. He's going to be fantastic. Well, I can't have you flipping about adopting lions on the safari and all of this.
Yeah, all flippity-floppity in Africa.
I got a monkey, too, while I was here. Daddy, we're all going to be talking with this ridiculous accent.
Even the monkey.
I need a tough woman that says, hey, wait a minute, I do what you have to do. I'm going to be the next Zsa Zsa Gabor, and I do what she wanted me to do. I do it for you. So that's the real thing. That's what I need.
You need someone to replace Zsa Zsa Gabor.
The queen of outer space is Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yeah, that's completely...
Someone who's willing to be surgically altered to look like Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yes, we can do that.
Zsa Zsa was your wife, so I don't know.
Yeah,
that
you're looking for...
if you want another wife...
You want to
wife,
adopt... Yeah, just go get a... Go try to find a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's...
You don't have to adopt somebody.
It's so much easier when you adopt an adult. It's just... It's not as messy as all of this. Kevin's 27 years old. I still don't quite get, and this was all for TV, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
I got to do all this Gabor stuff. What Gabor stuff is there to do? What are you so busy doing? The Gabor stuff. Oh, it takes up so much of my time. That's why I adopted a kid.
It takes up none of your time.
Okay, somebody texting us here on the Dave and Darren text line. This is brilliant. 470-23-NACHO is our text line number. Uh-huh. And I want to recognize, someone says here, I've come up with the perfect solution. Why doesn't he adopt the snake? That's it. All of our problems are solved.
That takes care of the legacy and everything.
Right on top of the gate.
And the snake is doing all the Gabor stuff for me, so there's no reason for anyone else to get involved. He's a good little worker, and I feed him mice and all of this.
The snake is the new Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Five. Number five.
Interesting article I read on, this is Mel Magazine.
Mel Magazine.
Mel Magazine. It's a magazine for guys named Mel.
What's that Mel?
What's that, Mel? We've got to start doing a game show called What's That, Mel? I love it. And now time for What's That, Mel?
I wish you all had Melevision.
Darren, this diner owner was played famously by Vic Tayback.
What's That, Mel?
Correct.
I think we have a wiener.
Bing, 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 bing.
She was the mom on 30-something.
What's that, Mel?
I think we have a wiener.
No, you can't. You can't just say the name of the game show. You have to answer the question. Famous Mel's.
I like this game.
We were looking for Mel Harris.
Who did?
Mel Harris.
Oh, Mel Harris.
Uh-huh. All right, now, for the bonus round, Darren, this Mel is clearly out of his mind.
I just need a nice woman to look after my beautiful daughter.
What's that, Mel?
Oh, you're all angry now.
Maybe I just have Mel Gibson be the host of the quiz.
Yeah. He'll do it.
All right.
He'll take care of it.
Let's workshop this. I think we've got something here. Now it's time for What's That Mel? With your host, Mel Gibson.
I called.
Oh. It needs a little work.
Yeah.
But I will never forgive you for what you've done to me. You.
You know what? To be honest, I deserve that.
This Mel hosted This Week in Baseball.
What's that, Mel?
You have to give me a last name. You can't just answer the same thing for every question.
Oh, that's why I like the game.
What's that, Mel? The idea is you just...
Mel, what's
just say, what's that, Mel?
Mel mm-hmm. Allen.
That's correct, Mel Allen. You see? Now you're talking. This famous Mel was for decades the voice of this cartoon rabbit.
So long, Screwy. See you in St. Louis.
What's that, Mel?
It's Mel Blanc. You can't just keep saying, what's that, Mel? Then the bit just, it goes nowhere.
I like it.
All right. What's, what's, okay, that's not
again,
cool.
Again.
Mel Magazine.
Somewhat deserved. He's not wrong.
When he's talking to you.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, all right. That's be clear about that.
You have no soul.
All right. That's put the Mel Gibson away.
It's up for debate.
Mel Magazine wonders, what is the dumbest euphemism for sex of all time? And I think they make it an excellent case.
Okay.
They say the dumbest euphemism for sex ever is something that comes to us from another game show. That game show would be the Newlywed Game.
Okay, whoopee.
Bob Eubanks used to say making whoopee on the show all the time. Whenever he was asking the newlyweds a question about their sex lives, he would say making whoopee.
You prefer that over the grinding?
Well, Eubanks' answer was, because people ask, like, why did you say making whoopee? It's weird. No one uses that.
Was that his idea?
He came up with the idea of using making whoopee rather than making love.
Uh-huh.
Because he said in an interview back in 1987, Bob Eubanks is still with us, right?
I think he is.
He says, I don't use making love because I won't use a term that you might have to explain to young children before you wanted to. That's why I came up with making whoopee. Making whoopee can be whatever you want. Making whoopee is having a party or just hugging and kissing. Nobody thought it was having a party or hugging and kissing, Bob. We all knew what you meant.
It was a party in the crotch.
That's right. Making whoopee, according to the dictionary here, whoop has been a word meaning to cry out since the mid-14th century. You know, like you let out a big whoop. Or you got the whooping cough. Or you sat on a whoopee cushion. It makes a big noise.
You hear a lot of people just making a big whoop?
They made a big whoop about that. You've never heard that expression?
No big whoop.
There was a Eddie Cantor song 100 years ago called Making Whoopee that was a big hit. Another Bride, another June, another sunny honeymoon, another season, another reason for making whoopee. And of course, my favorite Whoopi of all time is Professor Phineas J. Whoopi, who would explain to a cartoon penguin and walrus various things with the use of the 3DP board. Oh, boys, I'm glad you're here. Mr. Whoopi, we have questions. Phineas J. Whoopi would explain everything
what
on the
is,
3DP board.
What is Whoopi Goldberg?
We're not playing What's That Whoopi?
Oh.
Please. What are
I'm
you
confused.
Doing? Making Whoopi the dumbest euphemism for sex of all time. There are some runners up though, and I had never heard of these three.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if these were maybe used back in
predated.
Yeah,
predates
I've,
you.
I've never heard anyone use these.
Uh huh.
But I think I might start to use them because they're so bad. I think they're terrific.
But in what circles? Why would this come up? In what circles are you going to use this?
Oh, you know, if I want to be polite and use a euphemism rather than say, you know, intercourse, I would euphemism it up.
Okay, such and
you know, in polite society,
and you've
Darren,
never heard of these.
I never have.
Okay, all right.
Have you ever heard of somebody saying they're going to do a bit of ladies tailoring?
No.
Isn't that fantastic? How about have a bit of summer cabbage?
Okay, what the?
Yeah, we're going to go have a bit of summer cabbage, if you know what I mean.
I don't.
And then this one, we're going to go make some feet for children's shoes.
What?
It's a real think piece, that
well,
one.
Well, no, I get it.
Make feet for children's shoes.
Yeah. We're going to try to create a tiny human body, and it's going to have feet, and it's going to need shoes.
Also, you can say we're going to make some feet for children's stockings or socks.
Uh-huh.
That's been around. It says here the first use of it was 1785. Hasn't really been used.
I bet they got strange looks back then.
What are you talking about?
Come on, kids, grow up.
Bobby Eubanks has got to be like 100 years old, right?
I'm sure he's in his 90s.
All right, you're very good at this. How old is Bobby Eubanks?
I will say...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's...
You're very good at this.
I'll say 93.
93 is Darren's answer, and the answer is... He's only 84, Darren.
Only 84.
Yeah, no, you're wildly wrong this time around.
Okay.
Bob Eubanks, the host of Card Sharks and the Newlywed Game. He's also the host of Powerball, the game show. Do you remember Powerball, the game show?
No, I don't think so.
It was on for 2 years. There was like a scratch card game you'd play. I think you would win the ability to be on the show as a Powerball prize. There would be
it was part of the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah, you would get on the game show. You would win the ability to go on the Bobby Eubanks show Powerball.
Did you have to be a lottery winner to get on the show?
Yes. Yeah, I think you...
So here's another chance for another win.
Bob Eubanks was the host. This was on from October 2000 until September 2002. Powerball, the game show. And you could play along at home, too. But they got rid of it. The ratings weren't terrific, and neither were the sales of the scratch card. So there you go. Have a bit of the summer cabbage.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's going to do it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing to it, listening to it, obviously, if you've made it this far.
Yeah.
We will be gone for a week or so. We'll be back with more
and
of this nonsense.
With a vengeance.
Here's hoping. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks for listening. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Ooh-wee, what a cliffhanger. Oh, boy, oh, my. That's a real crazy ending, huh?
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.